Okay, well, I guess it's about time to start here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on this great All Saints Day, Lord, we gather here in this place as the saints who have gone before us, our friends, our family members, are gathered with you, and together, Lord, we make up your church, and we are grateful that we are able to do this as one body, to study your word. We hear it from the pages of Scripture, Lord, they hear it from your mouth. Wow. What a blessing for them, Lord. We thank you that they are with you on this day. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we are in Galatians, beginning chapter 3. Believe it or not, how long have I been in this book?
We skipped a few. We're moving right along.
We're moving right along. We're reaching the halfway point. Galatians chapter 3, we're going to get through verses 1 through 5 and then maybe 6 through 9. We'll see. But anyway, so Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 1, if you want to follow along. Oh, by the way, a little housekeeping here. I have gone back to my NIV Bible for one reason and one reason only. The print in my ESV was too small. I couldn't read it. So I'm back into my NIV that's got larger print. So please don't think anything about my change. So.
But they're heavier. It's the large print.
Yeah, that's true. This one is, and this one has seen better days. It's falling apart quickly. So I'll try not to get too carried away with it. And at least now I can read it. But our translation might be a little different than some of what you guys have. So, and that's fine. We'll work through some of those differences today. All right. So Galatians chapter 1, 1 through 5 reads as follows. And again, this is the NIV. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing? Was it really for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Okay. So, does it make more sense now, Mom?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, so, right from the beginning, what do you notice about these verses? Kind of an overall thing.
Letting them have it.
And it's full of questions, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's 5 verses here, and there's 8 questions. 8 total questions in these verses. Okay, so right off the bat, this is different than anything that we've read so far in Galatians, right?
Right.
Okay, because he asked questions, but this is one right after another. This guy's keep coming. All right. Now, they are all an important part of the argument that Paul is making. His case, they're all good, but there is one question in here that is central to the entire argument that he's making in the overall book, and in particular these 5 verses. And which question is it? It's in verse 2. Okay? Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Okay, that is the central issue that Paul is dealing with here. Okay? That's the main point that he's driving at. So what we're going to do is we work our way through these verses here. Through these, we're going to see how all of the other questions that Paul asks are in light of this question in verse 2. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so basically we're not going to take this thing as it comes. We're going to kind of deconstruct it a little bit and put it back together in our Western way of thinking here. Okay. So how the Galatians answer the other seven questions depend on how they answer the question in verse 2. That's what I'm getting at. Okay? And so that's how we're going to go through that. So let's look at that in verse 2. I'd like to learn one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Now, the Galatians standing before Paul, or actually reading this letter, because we know Paul sent this in letter form to the Galatians, what should their answer be?
By faith,
of course, yeah. I mean, that's what Paul is expecting them to answer.
Well,
why? Because that's what Paul did, right? Right. So, hearing that question, the Galatians' answer should be, well, by faith, of course. Okay, I remember that day. I remember when you preached to us, okay, and I believed your word. So that should be the answer, okay? So Paul is saying that he came to the people and he preached the truth of the gospel. What did Paul not bring with him?
The law.
The law. No, he probably brought the law, Nancy, but not Mosaic law.
Yeah,
okay. So he comes and he preaches the gospel of the truth. And what is that truth that Paul is preaching? Well, that goes all the way back to verse 1. I think it's verse 1 in... verse 1 here in chapter 3. Before your eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as having been crucified. Okay, so that's the truth that Paul is getting at here. Clearly, Paul would have expounded on what it meant to be crucified in his initial preaching to the Galatians. He's just not repeating the whole thing here for us. Okay. And so what do we mean, what does Paul mean when he says clearly Christ was portrayed as being crucified? Well, what he's saying here, what Paul is driving at, is Jesus Christ was what? Sent by the Father, lived a perfect life, sacrificed for the sins of the people, meaning mankind. Faith in his actions, Jesus, justifies a person before God. Right? Notice that in those four things, it's all what Jesus does for salvation. To be justified before God, Jesus is the actor in all of this. The Galatians are simply the receivers, okay, the believers. Okay? So, it's all what Jesus did. Mankind, especially the Galatians, were not involved in it at all, were they?
No.
They had no part of this. Okay, so it can only come as faith. And as we confess that this faith is created by the Holy Spirit. So here we go. That's what Paul says. You know, did you receive the Spirit? Okay, this is by faith. And as we churchy people like to say, it is received by the means of grace. Who knows what the means of grace are in the Lutheran Church?
Baptism and Holy Communion.
Okay, the two big ones. Sometimes the Word of God gets thrown in there. Sometimes some people like it, sometimes they don't.
There's not a sacrament that doesn't have the Word.
Correct, and what are our two sacraments?
Baptism and Holy Communion.
Right. What's that?
The Bible, you receive the Word of God through the Bible.
Yeah, see, that's there's sort of a debate on whether Scripture is considered a means of grace, because Scripture itself is not a sacrament. But then again, by reading the Word, faith comes, Spirit's there, so we can go either way. I'm not going to die on that one there. Okay. So we have baptism and Holy Communion. Now, when Paul talks about the truth of the gospel, this is what he means. He means all of this stuff, all encapsulated together. He just doesn't lay it out here for the Galatians. Why doesn't he lay it out for the Galatians? Because he knows they know. That's what he's driving at. You know the truth. It's like my friends that decided they, after listening to the radio for this radio preacher for about a year, decided they were not going to baptize their infant children. They were going to wait till they got to 14 or 15 and made a decision. And I'm like, no, you know the truth. You know, because you were born and raised in Missouri Synod Lutheran Church. You know. Okay, and that's what Paul is doing here. He's like, you guys know. So when he asks the question in verse 2, this must be the people's answer. According to Paul, there is no other answer. There's no other way to be justified before God but by faith in Jesus. That's it. Right? And because he expects this answer, everything else Paul says is in a response for them giving the correct answer. Okay? He's expecting them to give the correct answer. And because he knows they're going to say, well, of course it was by the Spirit. We know that. So then what does Paul do? You foolish Galatians. He's calling them. Okay? You foolish Galatians. How would you react? I mean, I imagine myself sitting in my office and somebody coming in and says, hey, you moron.
I've said that more than
you have. You have. And they're like, Nancy, that's not nice. Right?
Yeah.
That's kind of my first reaction. But if somebody comes in and says something like that to you, what is your first reaction? Well, what did I do?
Yeah.
Why are you calling me a moron? Okay.
Why?
But we have already established that this is in response to the main question. If they have already said, we received it by faith, so Paul is like, you morons. Why are you doing these other things? Okay? And this is a way to really pound his point home. Okay? Of course, we believe by the Spirit, but faith by the Spirit. That should have been their answer.
Right?
And so Paul comes back, well, then why are you doing something so foolish? Putting it back on them. Yeah.
Okay, so when he's speaking to this body of people, he's including the people of the law, yeah? And the...
Yes, because if they're members of the church, then they would have come to faith by hearing the word. The Jewish members of the congregation would have also come to faith in Jesus by hearing the word and believing, receiving the Spirit.
And nothing to do with the law.
Correct.
Okay.
And now they're trying to bring the law in and influencing the
new people.
The Gentiles.
Yeah.
Sort of. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what's happening. Right. So it's not just, he's not just talking to half of the congregation.
Right.
He's talking to all of them. Okay.
Got it.
And this is something that, I mean, you can sit here today and say, I would never do that. Okay, well, I got news for you. I had a lot of people in my old church that would come and they would sit in church and they would confess their faith and they would be faithful people that would come to church every Sunday. And then they would say, hey, Pastor, pull me aside, say, I saw this thing about the Bible on the Discovery Channel. And then they say, it was just so profound. It makes me really believe. And I'm like, well, what did you hear? And it would be some crazy off the wall thing. And I'm like, what is wrong with you people? Are you not listening on Sunday? How are you? How does that even? How do you watch that and even say that's remotely true? But it happens all the time. It happens all the time. It's happening to the Galatians here. Okay. So, so you morons. Who bewitched you?
Yes.
Yes.
Who?
Satan.
Okay, great question. Okay. In other words, who has gotten you to believe in something else?
Exactly.
Satan.
Okay, Satan is always the good answer. Okay. Now we know what Paul's going to say. It's the Judaizers, right? The Judaizers that have come into the congregation. Now, bewitched is a really interesting word here in the text. Why is that? Well, this is the only place in the New Testament it occurs. So it's one of those single-use words in the New Testament. There's quite a bit of them. Okay. And when we see this, what comes to mind? You've been bewitched.
Witchcraft.
Yeah, bewitched, that's what it's
like says. Witchcraft.
Yeah, like witchcraft. Like somebody's cast a spell upon you. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Of course, that's kind of the way that we use that word. It almost sounds like Paul considers that the people are under some type of demonic spell. Yeah. That's kind of where you were going over here. Satan is doing it. Okay, however, always a however. The word bewitched was used differently in the day, in Paul's day, than we would use it today. Okay, it was used when someone was accusing another person of having a confused mind. Not that they were influenced by, you know, somebody casting a spell or whatever, but they're just, their head was confused. Okay? And so, basically, Paul is saying, who has confused you here? Of course, Paul knows the answer. Paul knows the answer to all of these questions. These are not questions of inquiry, right? These are questions to drive a point home. Of course, he knows. Okay? So, question. And so then, are you so foolish? That's the next question after our main question. After having answered this question in verse 2, then now Paul seems to be the confused one, as how could they stray from the truth? Well, he knows how they have. Okay? He knows how they've strayed. Now, if you look at this, it begins with "you foolish Galatians," and then it goes, "are you so foolish?" Now, remember, Paul is Hebrew among Hebrews, okay? He is steeped in Hebrew writing, the way Hebrews write, okay? I don't know what the word for that is anymore. I used to, but that, whatever style it is. But anyway, this forms a very simple chiasm in the Hebrew language. It starts with point number one, "you foolish Galatians." The second point is, "did you receive the Spirit by works or by faith?" And then it closes back again with, "you foolish Galatians." And in that chiasm, our board's not here. I had this big plan to write it all out, with arrows and everything, but our board's not here. It's just on the wall. Nothing sticks to these walls, so maybe that would work. But the thing in the middle is the important part of a chiasm. So, "you foolish Galatians, by faith, by works, or by faith, or spirit by works, or spirit by faith," and then he backs out again, "you foolish Galatians." This is a very common way that Jewish people wrote. It's all over the Old Testament. It's everywhere, especially in the Psalms. It's everywhere. Okay. And so that's one reason why we know that verse in verse 2 is the strongest point here in this group of verses. Okay? So, let's move on. What's the next question? Are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Okay? So, let's start with the goal. What's the goal?
Go to him.
Gotta define the goal here first. What's the goal? The goal is to be with Jesus,
yes,
to be justified by faith. That's the goal, right? Because just like we saw today, to be justified by faith is to be counted among the uncountable
saints
around the throne, saints in heaven, right? Okay, and how is that done? It's through the gospel preached by Paul. So that's the goal. And what human effort is he talking about?
The law.
Bringing in the law, yes.
Oh, okay,
the Mosaic law. Now, but like we said last time, the Judaizers that are influencing the congregation here are not likely turning this house church or these house churches into little mini synagogues. Okay, that's probably not what's happening. Likely, they are saying the Galatians have to stop eating certain foods. Eating certain foods. They have to practice circumcision. all of these things that we labeled, I guess it was 2 weeks ago now, these badges of Judaism. Like you see people wearing yarmulkes today. Okay, they will wear those, don't know where the nearest temple is, right? Okay, because, well, I'm a Jew, I'm going to wear my thing. So it happens quite a bit. Okay, and so so what's likely happening are these small things that the Judaizers are saying they have to do, but not full-on sacrifice at the temple, like the main Jews are doing. So that's kind of what's going on here. Okay, what was our question there? Anyway, I forgot. Through human effort. Right. So Paul is saying, if you are justified by faith, okay, why are you not eating certain foods now? Are you thinking that makes you better? And again, how many of us here are sitting here going, I wouldn't do that. Yes, you do. We all do. How many of us are like, ooh, I went to church all 4 Sundays this year. Right? I do it. I do it. I'm like, okay, I don't think God wants me to do that. And then so I don't. I'm like, look at that, I didn't do that. God must be happier. We all do that. Why do we do it? Because our sinful nature still is striving to do its own thing. It's just, it's in us all of the time. And so, that what's Paul calling us to do? Stop that. Stop thinking those ways. You know, if God doesn't want you to do something and you don't do it, okay. How are you justified? By faith. Not justified because I went to church every service in December where there's a ton of them, right? Right. Okay. That's what we're getting at here. Okay. So, verse 4. Have you suffered...
So, are you saying that going to church conforms to works?
No.
You sure?
Did you not hear what I said?
I did hear what you said. That's why I asked the question.
No, I don't think you heard what I said. What I said was, when you go to church every Sunday this month, it's November, and Thanksgiving Eve, don't forget that one. Okay, so that's 5 times this month. At the end of the month, when you sit back and you say,
I did a good
job. Yeah, I think God's going to be happy with you. That's the issue. Why do we go to church 5 times in November? So we can have our sins forgiven and have God's grace still upon us.
Yes.
We don't go so we can, you know, ring the bell, say, you see me down here, God? I'm here. It's Thanksgiving Eve. Got a lot to do. Got people at home, but I'm here instead.
Yep. 5 times.
You don't do that. That's what I'm getting at. Okay. Because a lot of the times, what Paul is getting here is saying, okay, well, if you're practicing circumcision, why? Well, because the Judaizer says it'll please God, so I'll be more justified.
Yeah.
And Paul's like, wait a second, how were you justified?
By faith.
Well, by faith. Okay, then why are you doing that?
Yeah.
The issue is not that they are doing it, the issue is why they're doing it. Right. Okay, so, better be all in church next Sunday. I'm taking pictures.
That's our bye week.
What's that?
That's our bye week.
That's your bye week next week.
Seahawks are playing.
The Seahawks are playing, so it's a bye week for Sunday. Okay.
What's really germane to this?
What's that?
So, Romans 10:17.
Okay.
Faith comes through hearing, and hearing the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's written after this time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's written after what he's getting at the Galatians.
Right, so it was written a couple of years. Romans was written after Galatians was.
Okay. That would have gone well here, I think. So, okay, so verse 4. Have you suffered so much... Oh, gosh, I can't read this one either. Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing? Okay. Suffered is the really odd word out. Does anybody have any other thing besides suffer?
Experience.
Vain.
Experience so many things in vain.
Experience? Okay.
In vain.
In vain, okay. Looking for something different than suffer. Experience usually is the other word that comes up. And it, what does the ESV have?
Suffer.
It has suffer?
Yes.
Yeah, see, I don't know why they use that. Okay, on the surface, then, what do we think of when we read this? Suffer.
Yeah.
Because that's the most common translation of this Greek word.
They were persecuted.
Okay, persecuted. Exactly. Okay, that's what comes to mind. They suffer for their faith. Okay, Beverly, since you answered, I'm asking you.
Oh, dear.
What did they? What kind of persecution did they suffer?
Okay.
What kind
of persecution? They weren't Jews anymore, but the Romans.
Okay. Remember where we are. These and in Galatia.
Yeah.
Remember our opening comments about Galatia. They were in very good favor with the Romans. The Romans had no issue with the Galatians. They were kind of free to do what they wanted to do. The real answer is we don't know. Okay. That wasn't really fair. I know. I put you on the spot for that. Well, let's take a little bit closer look at that Greek word here, and then we'll shed some light onto this whole thing.
Okay,
so the Greek word is pronounced paxo. Now, I can't write it up. I was going to. I'm going to do a little Greek today. Can't do that. It appears 41 times in the New Testament. So it's common. Okay. And it almost always in the context of, quote, experiencing suffering. Some type of persecution.
Okay.
Now, Luther, or Augustine first, and then Luther, saw this word in the context of suffering. This is the way they translated this verse. Okay, but it's always in the context of suffering for the gospel. Not just because the Romans hated the Galatians, which they didn't. Okay, but if you suffer for the gospel, remember Jesus in the Beatitudes today. Blessed are you who people persecute you because of me. That would be this paxo word as Luther understood, right? However, there's always that. Josephus, do we know who he is?
Yes.
We all know who Josephus. Even if we don't, we recognize the name, okay? Josephus used the word often, and he used it to highlight a favorable experience. And if we lay that upon our scripture today, it would be, for an example, the positive experience of the gospel. That's why experience over here is a lot better translation that we have. Now, modern scholars are starting to view this word more in the context of a neutral form. Okay, that doesn't make any difference. So taking into account the past life of the people, past life of the Galatians, now, compared now that they have received the Spirit, then we could paraphrase this verse, the great experience through which the Galatians had already passed into their Christian life. This was a great positive thing that they heard the gospel and they experienced God's grace and were counted among those who were righteous before the Lord. That's the way Josephus uses that word. Okay. So, Paul writes, you have suffered so much for nothing. Have you suffered so much for nothing? Or we could rephrase it, you have had such a remarkable experience, all because of Jesus, was it for nothing? Because if you have this remarkable experience of conversion into faith, being justified before the Lord because of the word you heard, Paul's like, why are you now interjecting something else into it? Yeah. You have this wonderful experience, and now you're trying to drag yourself back to the law. Was it all for nothing?
No. Is this the same word that's used when Jesus says, suffer the little children to come unto me?
I did not go that deep on that.
Because that word suffer is there as a common English translation, mm-hmm. which means to encourage.
To encourage, yeah, to let them have that experience of coming and hearing my grace, experiencing my grace. Yeah, could very well be. Yeah. So that really puts a different spin on this verse then, doesn't it? If we look at it from a different point of view on how this is. So was that all for nothing? Well, what's the answer there?
No.
Forbid.
Could it be?
It will be if you continue down that road. Yeah. So the Galatians are have already supposed to answer that verse, that by grace through faith, you know, or the Spirit, by hearing, by faith. Okay, well, yeah, I guess I don't want to throw that all away by now thinking I have to stop eating shellfish. Not that they did anyway, but you know what I mean. Okay, so was what Jesus did for them and their belief in his actions by faith, was it all for nothing? Well, the suffering in the verse could be real suffering. Now, there's a lot of commentators that are like, man, those guys were really persecuted. They were suffering because they came to faith in Jesus. The trouble is there's no historical record of the Galatians ever being persecuted for their faith. Did it happen? I don't know. It's not written down. Okay, that's one thing we know. But then again, Jesus says, guess what? What happens to me happens to you. So everybody faces some type of this issue. Okay. Or was the life-changing, eternity-granting experience through the Spirit all for nothing? So that's what he's getting at. You know, it's all that for nothing. You know? And maybe Paul's a little upset too. I spent a lot of time talking to you people. And now you let these yahoos come in and start messing up the whole deal. So you can understand that. Okay. Anyway, so that makes more sense to me as we look at it for that. And the all for nothing is a slow slide into Mosaic law to be, quote, more justified. I am more justified because I sat on every single board and committee membership for 30 years as a member of my church. What's Paul say?
Doesn't
no.
matter.
Nope.
That
okay.
doesn't count.
None of it counts.
That doesn't count.
None of it counts. What is it? It? All of that stuff is simply a response to our faith.
Yes.
We do these things because Jesus first loved us. Church sits in the temporal world. Got to do temporal things. It's just the way it is. If we never had a board or a committee or a budget or any of these things, guess where our church would be in about 5 years?
It wouldn't do it.
No, this would be like a movie theater or something.
Yeah.
Okay. It wouldn't be here anymore.
It wouldn't be.
Right. So we got to do those things. We don't have any choice. But because we do them, God doesn't look down and say, oh, that church in Oak Harbor. They are really on my good side. Okay, he doesn't say that. And that's kind of what these Galatians were kind of like, you know, God's going to look at us and think we're really on his good side. Why? Because that's what the Pharisees taught. That's what they taught. Okay, the final question. This one should be really easy. Does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? What's he doing? He's just restating the question from verse 2, right? He's driving the point home. So if they could just find some justification for what they were doing in all those other questions, Paul closes this out by saying, no, not today. You're not getting over on me today. Because you're going to answer this one too. And it's all because of faith that takes place. Okay?
Okay, I have a question.
Okay. Good, because we're all out of verses here, so go ahead.
Oh, so you're pretty much done.
Yeah, I was going to get into the Abraham thing, but I'm going to save that for next week.
Okay.
Because that, all right. That lands better.
My understanding is that the Galatians bought into what Paul was telling them about faith, having faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so then there were other people that were probably also in their church or came into their church and said, okay, now you have to circumcise, you have to baptize, you have to do this, you have to do, gave them all the law things.
Correct.
And so that's what is kind of, well, it's not exactly confusing, but I would see that it would be hard for the Galatians who didn't know anything and just took it all by faith to not all of a sudden go, oh, and in addition, we've got to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so Was that what the, that's how I understood it. Was that what the other people who were already based in the law were there in their little churches, their little groups,
mm-hmm.
saying, oh, okay, but we don't want to get, we don't want this to get out of hand too much. Just by faith is not enough.
Yeah, essentially that's what these Judaizers are saying.
Yeah.
By faith is not enough.
Right. Right. So
that's what's going on.
Started laying down the law.
Laying in some law on top of the gospel.
Okay.
Right.
And so then the Galatians, who were just thinking that what Paul said sounded like a good thing, they didn't need all this other
mm-hmm.
stuff, they were hard pressed not to go down that road of the doing.
Yeah, and I think you're correct. I think that's probably what happened. And the other thing that we have to remember is that these are probably brand new Christians.
Yeah.
Okay. All of us have had, 40, 50 years of this stuff? I think we're pretty steeped in it. I think
yeah.
we can, you know, catch a flyer when it comes
yeah.
at us. Maybe these folks didn't.
They didn't.
I think the trick here is Galatians were Gentiles and Jews combined
together
in one
yes.
area.
Okay.
So it was
so they had both.
Teeter-totter between Gentiles who didn't know about the Judaizers'
right.
rules, etc.,
mm-hmm.
who tried to convince the Gentiles that that's the only way you can
right.
go ahead. And Paul is trying to clarify that
exactly.
for them as a whole.
That's right. Yeah, that's why we say there's Jews and Gentiles together in the congregation.
Okay.
And somebody is saying, yeah, but.
Right.
We need to add a couple of things.
That's where I was thinking. How did
right.
they get in there?
Because that's, because, you know, to be fair, these Jews were, from the time they were little, were at synagogue. They were going to sacrifice. They were eating the Passover. They were doing all of these things.
Oh, they were.
And now it's over.
Yeah.
But how many people do you know that were raised in the Catholic Church and then start going to a Methodist church, a Lutheran church, when they're older? They still carry some of those Catholic practices
oh,
with them.
Oh, yeah.
It happens a lot.
Today.
Yeah. Mary?
I was going to say the same thing, that
yeah.
people, churches always have someone coming in. The Lutheran church had it with the great, whatever, when they, the split between.
Oh,
the
yeah. That, yeah, it's
yeah, that people
yeah.
start bringing in different doctrines, different
mm-hmm.
ideas,
mm-hmm.
and like, tears churches apart.
So what's our defense about against that?
Going to the gospel.
Knowing the truth.
Yeah.
Being able to say, no. If you say I have to do this or I have to go there to be more saved, I don't think so. Pretty sure Jesus did it all. Okay. So I think that's our defense.
To have the doing part.
Exactly. Our sinful nature wants to do the doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
It wants to be involved. It wants God to say, look at me.
Yeah.
Look
at me, and she's so wonderful.
Yeah.
She comes to church late
every
Sunday.
But she gets there.
But she's there for communion.
Yeah.
So.
I thought that when I heard that.
It's easy to see how this would happen. It's easy to see how this could happen. Galatians, we listen to 91.1 radio station, 7th Avenue. Almost every day. And it's very easy. They keep hammering on the seventh day commandment. You know, you guys aren't quite Christian, though. You're not. You know, how come you say thou shalt not steal, but they say yes?
You
know, just mess up with the Sabbath day a little bit more, you know? And so it's easy to fall into that if you're exposed to that over and
mm-hmm.
over and over again. And I can see myself saying, no. How come Luther missed that?
Yeah.
How come he didn't quite get that? You know, and he should not despise preaching or his word. Where's the Seth doesn't say that commandment, does it?
Yeah.
But yes, they start thinking those things. And,
right.
We had this fellow come into our house who was a Seventh Adventist, and he liked to pride himself that he had been Lutheran until he got enlightened.
Okay.
And he wasn't going to, finally, I had to say, don't come back. He came every week for a while.
Yeah.
Every week, I'm like clockwork. And, you know, they began to brood on it. You know, they began to dig in and dig in a little bit more. And fortunately, God's Spirit saves us from that kind of stuff. But it's easy to see how that could happen.
Yeah.
And I was raised in a Roman Catholic church. A rural Roman Catholic town. I went to confession every Friday with my buddies. Did the Stations of the Cross. Some of you are familiar with those. We have them in our church. Thinking that makes us a little bit more holy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's easy.
Yeah.
To fall into that trap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the sinful nature always wants to do the doing. It always wants to be involved. So, and because of our sinful nature, sometimes it's hard to say, no, Jesus did everything. All I got to do is receive it by faith. Okay, well, now what? What am I supposed to do?
Right.
You know?
We all want God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Right.
We all want,
want God to say, today. I want to hear it today.
Okay,
this is
I'll
my fifth
you.
Sunday in a row. I want to hear it today. Sort of thing, you know? Yeah. Okay. Well, it's time for us to go. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that the gospel that Paul preaches is so simple. It is so simple. Lord, when it hits human ears and sinful natures get involved, it becomes an issue. So we are thankful, Lord, for Jesus, for his work on the cross, so that when we find ourselves in that position, we can fall on our knees and say, forgive me, Lord, for trying to take credit for what you've done. And that's a great gift. So be with us, Lord, this week. Keep us safe as the weather's turning. So that we can go about our days and return again next Sunday to praise and thank you for the good gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks, everybody.
Thank you.